You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And our Medical Monday returns with another segment of Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby from Neurovations joining us now via telephone. Good morning, Dr. Grigsby.
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Doing good. Taylor's here with us as well.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
And we're ready to dive in here and learn some things and be healthier. Before we get into anything else, I just happened to see that the CDC has come out with a new recommendation this morning, and they're saying that fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks when they're congregated together. That literally just last few minutes. What does that say to you as a medical professional?
Well, it says that we're finally making a little headway towards a little return to normal life. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit. I actually haven't read this morning's notice, but I read last weekend. On the weekend, there was a lot of run-up to this, and it's actually a little bit limited. The intent is to be able to be at home with your family, and maybe with small groups, maybe with a couple of neighbors in small groups. And if everyone's been vaccinated with two doses of the vaccine, and it's been longer than 2 weeks or so after your second dose, then there's a very high likelihood, I mean, nearly certain, that everyone in the room has immunity. And so in those cases, I think the CDC has said, and it makes common sense, that those small groups of people can get together. And I think we're all going to get in the habit of just asking each other, have you been vaccinated? You know, how's it going? How long has it been? And that's the trick, because you know, one or two people that haven't been vaccinated and have been exposed still out in the community could be trouble with the infection. But that's really good news overall,
yeah. I think. Yeah, that has become the question that is most common right now. I think I've been asked five times in the last week, have you gotten any shots yet?
Right.
It keeps coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that we call it a vaccination, and in Europe they call it a jab.
Jab, you know, yeah.
I think vaccination is a lot more kinder somehow. Jab just doesn't seem that kind to me.
Well, and then the follow-up question is always, how do you feel? And then let me tell you my story about how I fared.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is we're into the Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby segment of our program brought to you by Neurovations, which is a patient care and innovations company. And let's elaborate on that a little bit. Neurovations, when did it begin and what's it all about?
Well, thanks for asking, Barry. So Neurovations is the name of our company here in Napa. It's really the only what I would call a biotechnology company here in our area. We have really good healthcare organizations, service organizations here, but we're really the only company that's in the business of innovation and clinical research and consulting and in biotechnology. And it really came out of my practice, which is Napa Pain Institute, which we started, now in 1991. That was kind of a long time ago, but I was a young pup and recognized there was a big need for pain care for patients. And so we started that and got very busy over the years. And then as we got busier, my practice grew up during the time when pain management was developed as a field. And there was a big need for new devices and new drugs and new ways to treat things. So we were able to get involved very early in a development of a lot of the therapies that are used in our field these days. And then we just expanded that into, a full-on clinical research business and a consulting business. So we try to help companies and projects, understand what the need is in the market and how to get things out there.
So what kind of studies are you working on?
Well, it's a good question, too. You know, the clinical research process is, if you don't mind, maybe I'll tell our listeners a little bit about that, because I don't want people to think that clinical research is just a doctor that has some bright idea and puts an ad in the paper and says, hey, if you want to come in for, XYZ tonic, let's come on in. Clinical research is a formal study, and it's a very highly regulated business. So it's a long process in the usual medical path to get something from an idea to the bedside, we would say. In other words, to get something from an idea until we could actually use it on behalf of a patient. And that process, in real rough numbers, can take 10 or 12 years and many, many, many dollars to get an idea solidified in the laboratory first. And then we have to do what's called preclinical research. So we have to we try to do it, obviously, and it's also a highly regulated industry, is to do studies with small animals. And we do it as humanely, again, as possible, and as few as possible. But there's some things that we just cannot learn from a test tube, and we have to actually expose creatures to that therapy potentially. And then that takes a long time, and then finally we get to the place of being confident enough in the safety and the usefulness of a drug or device to think about offering it to human beings. And then that part is incredibly highly regulated by the FDA and by a group of third-party organizations called institutional review boards that look over the study and follow it along the way and make sure that everyone's safe and doing the right thing. And we've become very good at that process. It's sort of one of our core skills at Neurovations, and we help companies, navigate that whole process.
Interesting. How does that all work cost-wise?
Well, for patients, it works well. Actually, and one of the reasons that we do clinical research is it allows us to offer therapies sometimes to patients that, maybe are underinsured or underinsured. And one way, honestly, to get good care is to, participate in a clinical study, because most of the time the treatments and whatever that we do for patients is done without any cost to them, and usually doesn't even involve their insurance. Usually the sponsor, either let's say the NIH, National Institutes of Health, or a foundation or a company, pays for all of the costs of the study, and it's rarely a cost to a patient.
Interesting. Can you give us any examples of particular conditions or things that?
Yeah. Sure thing. Yeah. So we're involved in three studies right now that are kind of at the front of mind. We have others kind of in the hopper, but we're doing three things now that are pretty interesting. One is a study of lumbar disc herniation, and of course, I think we've either all had one or know somebody that's had a disc herniation, a disc injury in the low back. And the idea for this particular study is to do an injection of an enzyme, like a little protein that sort of dissolves the disc herniation, if you will. Rather than have to have surgery and have someone take it out physically, it sort of dissolves it, and then it reduces the inflammation and the irritation that it causes, sort of all at the same time. And so that's an interesting one. It's a little bit hard to find just the right person. We're looking for patients with a disc herniation that's pretty new, 6 months or less, and hasn't elected to have surgery, or surgery is not the right thing. So that's one interesting one. The other sort of big one that we're involved in now, we're the primary site for this study across the world, is a knee study for patients with osteoarthritis of the knee, sort of wear and tear arthritis of the knee. And it's an injection again, but this study is a little bit of magic one. It's sort of high science, and so the study goes like this: we inject little pieces of DNA or genetic material into the knee, and it's just a tiny little snippet. It's not your whole chromosome or anything like that, but it's just a little piece of DNA. And what that DNA does, it makes your knee, it makes the inside of your knee produce its own medicine. It makes your knee cells produce their own anti-inflammatory medicine for several months.
Whoa.
So it's a little magic, it's a little crazy in the molecular, so-called molecular biology part of things, but it's a pretty cool one.
Wow. And those things are happening right here in little old Napa, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not a biotech hub yet, but Neurovation is working hard to change that.
How do people find out about these opportunities and have a chance to take part, there might be somebody listening saying, boy, I wish I knew about that for my knee pains.
Well, for sure. So the easiest thing is just go to our website. You can just go to neurovations.com. If you can remember that, it's simple, Neurovations. You can navigate your way there. If you want to be a little more specific, we can go to Neurovations Research. All just run together, Neurovations Research at neurovations.com.
All
and that'll
right.
get you there. And if you only have a telephone, if you don't have your computer with you, you can just call 252-9606, 252-9606, and somebody will tell you about it.
Very good. Taylor really likes to try out new treatments and medicines and things, so she probably will sign up.
Good. Well, she has to have knee pain or back pain. Otherwise, she doesn't get to play.
Well, I mean, the older I get, the more back pain I'm getting. So I'm close.
Taylor, from the sound of things, I think I have you by a couple of years.
So anytime you take part in something that's being tested, there has to be some risk element involved with this. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So we go through a process before someone enters a study, and they come to, well, they make an appointment and come visit us. And then I'll spend, myself or one of our other physicians, investigators, we'll spend about an hour with you. And we go through this process called consent. And so we go through all of the history of this drug, let's say, and how it was developed and what the pluses and minuses seem to be on our end. And then we talk about, you know, the preclinical work, you know, the animal work that was done. And we talk about previous studies, if there are any, and just make sure patients are really fully informed. And we have a whole lot of information available. Now, there's always a risk to any treatment. But in the case of pain, you know, the FDA has reviewed all of this in great detail, and they have gone through a panel of FDA experts, and they've said, looks to me like, based on other things that are in the marketplace, the risk and the benefit of this therapy is really reasonable. And that's the only way you get the trial approved to begin with.
So you kind of have that insurance going into it, knowing that it's been reviewed.
You do. Yeah, you hope that you have you have confidence in the process. And then the other thing about the study business is that patients are always in charge in the clinical trials. So if there's a place where the patient says, you know, I signed that consent and now I've learned that it actually involves an injection and I don't really like injections, so I want to withdraw consent. And that's totally allowed, you know, that patients are always, you know, the boss when it comes to clinical studies. It's not like buying a car where once you sign up, you mm-hmm. better make the payment or they'll take the car back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that in research. You know, it's a cooperative thing. We just work through it together. And if there comes a place where the patient doesn't want to continue, then that's, you know, that's completely up to them.
Yeah. How many people might be engaged in one of these studies? Is it in the tens or hundreds or thousands?
For it depends on the type of study, Barry. The medical device studies that we do a lot of work on this field called neurostimulation, and that involves placement usually of a little tiny wire, like a little electrode, on some part of the nervous system, like the spinal cord or a nerve in your arm or your leg that's causing a lot of pain. So we do a lot of work in that area, and we've actually come up with a lot of good ideas at Neurovations, you know, to help this whole area. But medical device studies require relatively few patients, maybe only 250 or so, let's say, on average, for the whole study, you know, to get something approved by the FDA. But drug trials, for example, for a new pharmaceutical, a new drug to get from zero to the market to the patient, may require several thousand patients enrolled. So it really varies by whether it's a medical device, which requires fewer overall patients, or a drug, which requires thousands of patients across the country, you know, to be involved and track them, follow them for a long time to demonstrate that a drug is helpful and safe.
Very interesting. And again, you mentioned the number 252-9606 and on the web, neurovations.com. And the more specific web address, again, was?
Neurovations Research, all run together, at neurovations.com. So Neurovations Research at neurovations.com.
Great. Ways to find out more. And you've been listening to Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby, brought to you by Neurovations, patient care and innovations company, providing the best care for every patient every day. Dr. Grigsby, thanks for being on today. Good information, really interesting stuff.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Barry. Taylor, you guys have a great day, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye now.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.